about it. I'm excited to be talking about connection. And before I was, gee, look at all those kids. Isn't that absolutely incredible? Before I was a full-time pastor, before we were in ministry full-time like we are now, I ran an auto electrical business, and I did that for about 10 years, and I loved doing that. And it was an exciting time of my life, and by the grace of Alex, I managed to keep doing it because we used to work crazy hours. I don't know how many hours a week that I worked, but it was a lot. And but I enjoyed that time. But one of the things that we used to do was we would look after all the work that needed to happen on fleets of trucks. And these trucks would work 24 hours a day. The guys that ran these trucks, to them, it was just ultra important that these trucks stayed on the road. And if a truck was broken down, that they used to freak out. And they wanted them going as quickly as possible. And these trucks would work 24 hours a day. And so often I would get a phone call at 1, 2 or 3 in the morning. And it'd be just at that point where you'd got into that deep sort of sleep, and the phone would ring, and it would go something like this. You know, you'd wake up and you're sort of all sort of groggy and trying to get yourself together, and you know, hello, and this bright voice on the other end, Dave. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear you too. And what would happen? It'd be some guy, and perhaps his truck or his machine had broken down, and inevitably he was miles down the bush somewhere, you know, probably an hour and a half's drive from home. And this would happen regularly, and the chances of this happening were seen to be directly proportional to how tired I was. The tighter that I was, the more likely that the phone seemed to ring in the middle of the night and interrupt your sleep. And the thing was, I knew when that happened, hardly ever would I get back to bed again, because by the time you finished, it was probably 5 o'clock, and it was like, oh, well, I might as well just start the day. And, you know, that would happen a lot. But the scenario was that there was this truck that was miles down the bush somewhere, and it wouldn't go. And often, I would get in the car, and I'd drive down, and I, you know, often it was the middle of winter, and it was dark, And I remember, you know, the heater would be going in the car, and you'd get out of your work vehicle, and you'd get out into the cold, and you'd get a torch, and you'd start to look for a problem. But time and time again, I'd find that we often fixed the problem quite quickly, that it wasn't very much that actually stopped it. And inevitably, what it was, and sorry if you're not into this electrical sort of stuff, but it was actually a dirty connection. It was something that stopped the power getting to where it had to go. So that when when the driver of the truck, or relate this to your own car, when you turn the key, you get in the car and you turn the key and you think, cool, the car starts and away I go. But what happens when you turn the key is power has actually got to get from the battery round to some sort of device that actually makes that start. And what was going on is that down the bush somewhere, there would be a $500,000 piece of equipment, you know, a truck that was probably worth more than that, and it was loaded up with lots of money's worth of goods, and that truck was actually stopped. It was not going anywhere. It was just stopped there. It was this frustrating thing, and what would happen is a 20-cent connection would actually often stop a $500,000 or $1 million worth of equipment moving to where it had to go. The driver, he was there, he was all ready, he'd been up all night, he had fuel, he had diesel in the tanks of his truck, he had it all going on, but because there was a dirty connection, because a wire had broken, because something had actually failed to work, this $500,000 piece of equipment continued to sit right where it was. The road was there, the driver knew where he had to get to, there was a road that was actually connecting the place where that truck sat to the destination of where it had to get to. The driver had the skills to drive the truck, hopefully. And all that was actually going on, but the truck was actually stopped and it couldn't move from where it was because of oftentimes a 20-cent correction, a 20-cent connection or a piece of wire that was broken or something that had happened. And have you often ever felt like that? You know, God has placed inside you amazing potential. It's a bit like you're like the truck. You mightn't like to think of yourself as a truck. But you've got the fuel, you've got the diesel in the tank, you've got what it takes to go to where God is calling you to go. You've got the potential there, you've got all the things that God has placed inside of you, but you feel like you're just stuck in this place you are at the moment. You feel like you're almost stuck where you are. You would like to go to where you're called to go. You can see the future, you can see the road ahead, you can see what's there, but there is something that is stopping you going to where you've got to go to. You see, God has placed inside you all the potential that you need to go to where He's calling you to go. God has placed inside you all the potential that you need to get through the challenges that are in front of you right now. God has actually placed that inside of you. But sometimes we can feel like that truck. We can feel like, yeah, I've got it here. There's something there, but there's something that is stopping me going to where God is calling me to go. There is something that is stopping me getting through these challenges that are in my family. There is something that is stopping me getting through this financial challenge. There is something that's stopping me getting through this employment challenge. There is something that is stopping me getting through this challenge with my children. There is something that is holding me back. I know that I could get there, but at the moment, I just don't feel like I can do it. Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah, we can relate to that. We can understand what it is. You see, what actually happens is we become disconnected and we feel like we can't leave where we are at the moment. We feel like we can't get going. We feel like we can feel a bit like the truck. We can feel like we've got this incredible load, or we've got this responsibility, or we've got this weight that is actually on us. And we know that we've got to move from where we are, and perhaps there are your family, perhaps there are your workmates, perhaps there are the people that you employ, and it's a bit like the weight and the responsibility of all that is weighing on you, but you've got to move to the next thing. And it feels like you're stuck there. And I want to say to you this morning that often it's something like the 20-cent connection that is actually stopping you moving from where you are to where God is calling you to go. And why we're talking about connection at the moment is, you see, connection with God and connection with people is what enables you to move from where you are to where God is calling you to go. And so often we can find ourselves stuck. We can feel like the world is closing in. All this stuff is coming in around us. But I want to say that it is the connection with God that is going to see you move from where you are to what God has got ahead of you. You see, when everyday people like you and I have meaningful connection, that is, we have a meaningful relationship with God and people, we do extraordinary things. I thank God for amazing opportunities that I've had in my life, and there's probably nothing that amazing about my life, but when I look back, there's all sorts of things that we've done. Alex and I have been able to travel the world to various places and see what God is doing in all sorts of parts of the world. We've had this incredible opportunity to lead a church. We've had opportunities to be part of what God is doing in the kingdom here in Tasmania. And quite honestly, it's not about our talents. It's not even so much about our gifts. It's actually about the fact that we're connected to God and we're connected to people, and that's why that happens. And a lot of you have got dreams, a lot of you have got visions, a lot of you have got things that you think are out there. But you see, I want to say to you this morning that it is actually your connection to God and it is your connection to people that is going to enable you to get from where you are now to what God has got for you. You see, just as ordinary people, when they're connected to God and people, do extraordinary things, did you know that when people become disconnected, the results can be devastating? That disconnection actually has a devastating result. And, you know, together, by the grace of God, we are building a church that is real, welcoming, and life-changing. And it's full of people who are committed to connecting people to God and each other. We do that by the grace of God. But you see, if we were not committed to connecting people to God and we're not committed to connecting people to each other, well, we might as well go home. We might as well not be in church. We might as well not do what we're doing, because we cannot achieve the purposes of God. God cannot achieve His purposes through us unless we first connect to Him, and unless, secondly, out of that, we start to connect and we build community with each other. That is going to be the difference that it makes. That's why I encourage you, join a life group. Join a life group. I think as a church, we do, I said this last week, we do connecting on Sundays really well. you know, we've got a great atmosphere in this place. People are friendly. People are warm. People connect with each other. We have coffee, all that stuff. But, you know, for some people, it's a long time between Sunday and Sunday. And if something happens and you don't get to church the next week, it's a long time between Sunday and the next Sunday. Or if something else happens again, and Sunday, 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 and you can find yourself that you might be connecting with God, and I hope and pray that you are, but if you're not connecting with people, you can find yourself really, really lonely. And there would be people here this morning, and you're thinking, yeah, I'm relating to what you're saying, Dave. I'm hearing you. I just want to connect with some people. That's why I encourage you. Be part of a life group. After the service, go and make the Connect desk really, really busy. Put your name down and say, I want to join a life group. And we will do our best to connect you with people that can laugh with you, people that can cry with you, people that can pray with you, people that you can hang out with, people that you can have some fun with, people that you can just enjoy doing parts of your life with. And that's just a small group of people that is going to encourage you and enable you to grow. Maybe you're in a life group. Maybe you know the benefits of a life group. Why don't you decide this morning, right now, as the Holy Spirit convicts you, and did anyone get convicted? Why don't you decide right now that you're going to step out and you're going to decide to lead a life group? You can do it. You can do it. The difference between where you are now and where God wants to take you is your connection with Him. And you might think, I haven't got what it takes. I couldn't do it. I haven't got the time. You'd be all these things. But a connection with God is actually going to move you from where you are to where He's going. And why don't you decide that you can lead a life group and you can be part of connecting people to God and connecting people to each other and part of God's greater purpose across this city. You can do that. See, when ordinary people like you and I have God connection, ordinary people do extraordinary things. And I think of all the things that I've done in my time as a minister, so to speak, one of the most exciting things that I did is led a life group. I remember when we first started to lead life groups, which is probably 20 years ago, and I started with this group of people, and then it got sort of bigger and we had to plant another group out of that, and then I ended up with a group of some new Christians, some people that had just found out what Jesus could do in their life. And I can remember that every Tuesday night I would go to this life group out in Glenorchy, and I wouldn't get home to probably 11:30 at night, because these guys would just, they would just fire question after question. They were hungry for what God was doing. They were wanting me, you know, and to explain how the scriptures worked. And was I equipped? Did I have it all? No way. I didn't have it all together, but I love God, and I was just able to very, very easily answer a lot of their questions because of what God had done in me. And to this day, I can look at all sorts of other things, and that is one of the most exciting things that I've actually done in the kingdom of God, is being part of somebody's growth, has been part of somebody connecting, has been part of the future of a family that is still serving God in the kingdom of God because they got connected through a life group. That is one of the most exciting things that you can possibly do. See, when ordinary people like you and I have God connection, we can do extraordinary things for God. In Judges 6:14 and 16, it says this. It says, then the Lord turned to him. It's talking about a guy called Gideon. And it says, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Now, Gideon was at a town and he lived in a place called Ophrah. And it was a bit like a backwater place. It wasn't one of the main towns. And right when God turns up to talk to him, he is actually in a wine press. And a wine press, I don't know how they worked in those days. I guess they're a fairly mechanized sort of thing now. But what they would do is they would throw all the grapes sort of either down into a dip or a tub or something like that. And I guess it must have been a fairly big one. And they would just get people in there and they'd walk on the grapes and they would tread them and squash them. But what was actually happening in Gideon's time is there was a band of raiders called the Midianites, and they would just come in, and every time that the Israelites grew crops, every time that they reared animals, every time that they had any sort of prosperity, these guys would just tear in and they would rape and pillage the land and they would just take everything away. So Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. He's doing it out of sight. He's doing it out of where it couldn't be seen. It was sort of a humiliating thing. He wasn't out in the open. He wasn't thinking, I'm strong enough to fight these guys off. He'd actually, through fear, had been forced down into a valley. He'd been forced into a place that was out of sight and out of mind, and he's threshing wheat in there. Now, when you thresh wheat, you've actually got to throw it up in the air, and you've got to let the air get under it. You've got to get the wind under it to dry it out. So it wasn't working very well. So he's in this place, and fear and humiliation would set in, and he's not feeling very brave. He's not feeling very powerful. And God turns up and God says, go in the strength you have. Another version says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. And then he responds to God. He says, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan, some of you might relate to this, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. I am the least of my entire family. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting one man. You see, what was going on here is there was a disconnection between God and Gideon. There was a disconnection between God and Gideon. There was a disconnection between what Gideon was feeling and what God was saying about Gideon. Now, I believe in a place like this morning, there will be people here, and there is a disconnection between what God is saying about you and what God has got for you and how you are feeling about yourself right now. Anybody, you don't have to put hands up, but anybody relate to that this morning? You see, there is a disconnection between what God is saying about you, what God has for you, the plans He has for you, and what you are feeling about yourself right now. Yeah. And Gideon says, but I'm insignificant, but I'm the weakest, but I'm the least important in my entire family. And verse 13, he says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all the miracles you talked about our ancestors? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. So he's making these comments like, why, where, but. To build God connections, number one this morning, choose not to be controlled by your but. Choose not to be controlled by your butt. You see, so often we are controlled by our great big butt. If you've got a small one, maybe you're controlled by that too. And it's a bit like, what have I got to offer? What have I got to offer? And then Gideon's saying, how can I save Israel? And God's saying, go in the strength you have and I will be with you. You see, the butt disconnects us from what we have. See, the but disconnects us from what God has already placed inside you. It's interesting that God didn't say to Gideon, hey Gideon, you're weak at the moment, you just step out and I'll be with you, and you've heard sermons preached like that. He didn't say that. He says, Gideon, and he changed the way he addressed him. He says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. In other words, Gideon, you brave man. Gideon, you strong man. Gideon, you man who's got it. He says, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. He actually didn't say, hey, can you lie down before me now? Can you lie prostrate on the ground? And can you get filled with enough strength to go? He didn't say that at all. He said, actually, go with the strength that you have. Go with the strength that you have. And I believe there'll be people here this morning, and God is saying exactly the same thing. You know, you've wanted this connection with God. You've wanted to connect more with people, and you've been saying, but why, if, how? How can I do it? I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not charismatic enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. And God is saying, go in the strength that you have, and I'll be with you. There is not a single person in this world that does not have something that God can use. There's not a single person in this building this morning that does not have something that God can use. And God says, go in the strength that you have. not in what you don't have, not in the things that you need. You know, you might be saying, well, how can I be a man of God? How can I lead my family? How could I be a life group leader? How can I, I haven't got the experience, I haven't got this. But what if people don't like me? What if they don't come? What have I got to offer? Or, you know, I'd love to be at church more. I'd love to be connected to this family of God. I want my kids to be brought up in kids' church. I want my kids to be part of the house. But it's just so hard to get there. But the kids go burko every morning when we're trying to come. But. There is always going to be buts. If you want your family to grow up and honor God, you've got to get over the but. You've got to get over the great big but, because there is always, I'm not talking about that, stuff happens, I know. There are times that things go on and we can't do anything about it and we just got to ride with it and get that out. But in essentially what I'm saying is there is always going to be a big but. Yeah. Yeah. And there's going to be a when. The if and the when. I will serve God if and when and but, if, when, but. Come on, let's get rid of the ifs and the whens and the buts. And let's go in the strength that we have. Let's go in what God has placed in us right now. You know, you're not waiting. You're not waiting to win Tats Lotto. You're not waiting for that for the next thing to happen. You're not waiting for that check in the mail. You're not waiting for somebody to recognize you on X Factor. You're not waiting for that next break. God is saying, go in the strength that you have right now. Have you ever been in that spot? I've walked out to the mailbox and I'm like, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if some relation that I'd never heard of, that I know nothing about, and they're not there, but wouldn't it be fantastic? You know, and I open the mailbox and there is the check, and wow. But wouldn't I serve God then? You know, wow. God is saying, get rid of the buts, get rid of the ifs, and go in the strength that you have. Go in the strength that you have. And He will be with you. And you will get through these things. Will it be easy? Not necessarily. But will you have the strength to get through it? Yes, you certainly will. If we want connection with God, if we want connection with people, we've got to get rid of the buts. We've got to step out in what we have now. There's always a massive list of the things that you don't have. Has anyone written a list of the things that they don't have? It is a long list. It is an involved list. It is almost a never-ending list, the things that you don't have. But why don't you start to write down what you do have? Yeah, right. I live in Tasmania. I live in one of the most blessed places in all the earth. I am here to make a difference. Why has God chosen me to live in the 10% of the richest people that have ever been on the face of the earth? Because He's got me here to make a difference. Go with the strength that you have. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. It says, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And if you give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Now that verse was talking about giving. But the principle is exactly the same. That God's saying, whatever I ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to step out with what you have, not with what you don't have. I'm going to ask you to respond with what you have. Right. And I know there are people here all over this place this morning. And you've actually stepped out with what you have. You know, we've just had the girls talking about Be a Freedom, and it's somebody has decided to do something with what they have. You know, we've got to decide that we're going to step out with what we have. See, God connections start where you are and with what you have. Eagerly accept what you have. That's where you start. It's not the but, it's start where you are and with what you have right now. You see, if you want connection, get rid of the buts. I could be a friend to someone if I had more time. I'd love to invite people into my home, but my house is not big enough. Our house is not big enough. Our house is quite a little house, and we've had at times we've had Alex once had a birthday party years ago. Well, she turned 30, and so it was last week. 2 years ago, she says. And we're And it was in October, and the weather is sort of coming and going, and she was inviting all these people. And I'm saying to her, where are you going to put them? They're not going to fit in our house, Alex. And every time I turned around, she'd invited another 10 people. And I'm saying, they're not going to fit, Alex. And she said, it's okay, we've got the deck and we can have people outside and it's going to be all wonderful. And then it just rained, like really rained, like seriously rained. And I can remember that the house was chock-a-block. We had people in every single room in the house. It was like one of those, crazy parties you go to as kids. You open the bed, whoa, it was like that. There were people absolutely everywhere. The point I'm making is let's not be limited by what we don't have. Let's think about what we can do with what we have. You see, you can have people in your home. You mightn't be able to have 50 people in your home, but you can probably have one. So let's step out with what we do have and start to build God connections with what we do have. Genesis 3, 8 to 10 says this. It says, when they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden that evening in the breeze, the man and the wife hid in the trees in the garden and hid from God. God called to the man, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid, I was naked, and I hid. Has anybody ever been caught naked somewhere and had to hide? I remember, this has got not much to do with the message, but I remember as we were growing up, we had a friend that used to come to our place regularly, and he used to turn up at about 11:30, 12:00 at night, and he drives his car up the hill to where we live with my mum and dad, and he parked, and he came in, and just as he came in the house, my father was just getting out of the shower, and somebody yelled out, James's van is on fire. So I remember Dad, he went downstairs, he grabs a fire extinguisher out of our boat, and he's heading out across the front lawn in his towel, and the towel fell off. There he was with a fire extinguisher, naked in the middle of the front lawn. And if you've ever been caught in something like that, you know the feeling of being caught naked, don't you? When you're in the toilet and the door, those sort of things. Now, that was the feeling that Adam and Eve have got. Suddenly, they'd been in the garden. Suddenly, everything was cool. They'd been walking around absolutely butt naked for I don't know how long, enjoying it. And all of a sudden, something changed and they got that feeling, we are naked. And God turns up in the garden like he'd been doing every single evening. And he says to them, where are you, Adam? And Adam says, well, I'm hiding. Why are you? Well, of course I'm hiding. I'm naked. And suddenly something had changed. Suddenly something, Adam had gone from having this amazing connection with God, this amazing relationship, to feeling exposed. When you're naked, you feel like you don't quite measure up. I don't know about you, but if I stood here naked, I am actually probably not Brad Pitt. I'm not thinking like, yeah, I can stand here in all my glory. I'd be feeling like I needed to cover certain bits up. Have I got anyone that's keen? Seriously, we're not going to do that. And funnily enough, I'm sure Adam was in pretty good nick. He was genetically the first man. He would have been perfect. It was all there. And suddenly God turns up in the garden and he feels naked. And he feels like he doesn't measure up. He feels like it's not there. And God says, who told you were naked, Adam? He says, did you eat from that tree I told you not to? The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and yes, I ate it. God said to the woman, what have you done? And she said, the serpent seduced me, and I ate. Adam blames his wife. His wife blames the snake, and then Adam blames God. You see, guilt. Adam went from having this amazing relationship with God, this amazing relationship with his environment, this amazing relationship with his wife, this being at peace with everything that was going on, to suddenly finding himself exposed, naked, feeling like he didn't measure up, feeling like he didn't. What had happened? You see, suddenly he was absolutely riddled with guilt. And have you ever felt Have you ever felt riddled with guilt? I certainly have. I've done enough things to be riddled with guilt from time to time. And there's something about guilt that you feel like you want to run, feel like you want to hide, you feel like you want to not face people. If you're feeling this morning, if there's guilt going on in your world and you're thinking, yeah, Dave's up there and he's going on and on about connection, well, I just don't feel like I want to connect with anybody because I've got this guilt that I'm feeling, and it makes me so that I want to actually disconnect. You see, guilt immediately breaks connection. Guilt breaks connection. You know, when you do something stupid as a kid, you know, your best friend and everything's cool going on, and you know, and they get this amazing toy, and because you're not that, you know, you're not that emotionally developed, you think, well, I'm going to steal their toy. I'm going to have their toy because I need it more than them. And that's cool for a while, but suddenly something happens and your parents come in and they say, you naughty boy, you know, you've stolen that toy. What were you thinking? And suddenly you start to change a thing and you start to feel guilty. And they say, well, you know, you've got to go and apologize to little Johnny for stealing that. And, you know, parents, you've done that. And the kid, you know, you're dragging them out. You know, you're going to apologize. And, you know, the kid will, and you know how they say sorry. Now say sorry to Johnny. Sorry, Johnny. Johnny's over there. Because you see, the guilt, sometimes it's pride, sometimes it's a whole lot of other things, but the guilt actually stops us connecting. Straight away, where there was all this fun, where there was all this amazing playing, but suddenly guilt comes in and disconnection happens. Number two, to build God connections, we've got to allow Jesus to deal with the guilt. We've got to allow Jesus to deal with the guilt. I think this is huge. I think that this city is full of people that should be in church this Sunday morning, that should be in life groups, that should be connected with other Christians, and they are not, because they're actually riddled with guilt. Because something has happened. No, they're not bad people. They've just made a mistake. Something has gone wrong, or they've just got caught up in something, and suddenly they feel guilty about it, and they're disconnected. You see, one of the key roles of a priest in the Old Testament, before the times of Jesus, was to actually relieve guilt. That the priest basically had two functions. One was to point people in the right direction, explain how the scriptures worked and how it applied to them, and then they would come and they would make their sacrifices, and the priest would help them relieve their guilt. And it's probably in the Protestant church, it's something that we don't do that well. I think there's a lot to actually be said. I'm not suggesting that we start doing what the Catholics do and having confessions, but there is actually something about that when you go and you confess what has happened, that there is a guilt that you're carrying that is relieved from you. And if we want to have good connection, we've got to allow Jesus, who is our great high priest, to relieve our guilt. And it says this in the Bible, it says, so then, since we have this great high priest who entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings that we did, yet he did not sin. So, listen to this, verse 16. So, I didn't tell you the reference, but it's in Hebrews. So, let us come boldly to the throne room of our gracious God. There you will receive mercy and you will find grace that will help us when we need it most. See, Jesus, our great high priest, wants to remove the guilt. He wants to remove the guilt that we carry through forgiveness of sins, so that we can come boldly into God's throne room, so that we can connect with him, so that we can understand that we are forgiven from our guilt and that will be removed. You see, guilt disconnects people from God all the time. You know, you make a mistake, you do something stupid, and it's guilt that actually disconnects you. But as people, you mightn't be dealing with that much guilt this morning. But let's not add to people's guilt. Let's not add to that. Jesus actually has encouraged us that we've got to point people to him. We've actually got to point people to Jesus so that he can relieve their guilt. You see, we can't, all we can do is point people to Jesus. You see, we're not the great high priest. Jesus is the great high priest. He can relieve guilt. If the band, if you would like to join me now, that would be really cool. I'm actually going to have to wind up here. I've got about another 3 points and we're not going to get to them this morning. But just let me finish with this one. Number three, if we want to build God connections, I want to say that we've got to we've got to keep turning up. We've got to keep turning up. And you might say, yeah, that's about church, it's about this. But I'm talking bigger than that. I'm saying that you've actually got to keep turning up. And in Luke, we read this story. It says, there was a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, and he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him and he was surrounded by the crowds, and a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. You see, this woman finds Jesus in the crowd. Right there, Jesus had people all around him. He was on his way to somewhere important. This guy Jairus, it says that he was a leader of the synagogue. He was an important person. He was somebody that everybody knew. And Jesus actually had said, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for your daughter and we're going to see your daughter healed. And this woman who had been suffering for 12 years with hemorrhaging, with another version says an issue of blood. She'd spent all her money trying to get her health sorted out. She was weak. She would have been anemic from what she was going through. She wouldn't have had a lot of strength. And it was perhaps a private thing in many ways. And she gets into this place where there is all these important things going on. There are all these people crowding in around Jesus. And she gets herself through the crowd and she actually gets connection with Jesus. She reaches through the crowd. She reaches through all the things that are going on. She reaches through all the noise in her world. She reaches through all the distractions. She reaches through all the things that were happening in her family. She reaches through all the things that were there and she actually touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And we're told that immediately that she touched Jesus, the bleeding stopped and she was healed. And that would have been an amazing miracle, wouldn't it? She could have gone home then. She could have had her healing because she just turned up. She just turned up. She decided that she wasn't going to let these things stop her from turning up and being where Jesus was going to be. But right then Jesus stops and he says, who touched me? Who touched me? And Peter says, Jesus, you know, you're off your trolley, mate. There's people everywhere. They're pressing in on you from every single side. How can you say somebody touched you? There are people everywhere that are pushing against you. And Jesus said, no, something happened. Something happened. I felt this power go out of my body. I know that somebody was healed. I know that somebody was set free. I know that something happened right there in that moment. And he stopped the whole thing. He stopped where he was going. And one woman who perhaps didn't feel very important, who had probably a very private issue, had something that was devastating her life, got healing because she just turned up and she got connection with Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning. No matter what you're going through, just turn up. Just turn up. Get up every day and say, Jesus, here I am. I don't know how I'm going to get through this stuff at work today. I don't know how I'm going to make these decisions. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this decision I've got to make. I don't know how I'm going to deal with my kids today. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that person at work. I don't know how I'm going to get through this study. I don't know how it's going to happen, but just turn up and reach out and say, I need connection with you today, Jesus. Maybe right now this morning you've never had that connection with Jesus. You've never felt that sort of connection with Jesus. Did you know that there are all these things that would want to distract you? There were all these things that would want to stop you connecting with Jesus. The world is so full of distractions. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the highway that leads away from Jesus, it says the road that actually goes to what the Bible calls hell, which is eternal separation from God. It says that is a wide road, it is easy, and you can find yourself on that road really easy. But it says that if you want to connect with God, that you're going to actually have to reach through some of the distraction. You're going to have to reach through some of the noise. You're going to have to walk past some of the buts. You're going to have to walk past some of the its, and you're going to have to reach your hand out, and you're going to say, Jesus, I want to connect with you this morning.
Right.
Just can we stand up and just bow our heads, and I just want a moment of privacy this morning. Is there anybody and you just like to connect with God? And I want to encourage you.
I just believe there are people here this morning, and right where you are, you can reach through the noise, you can reach through the distractions, you can reach through all the things that are going on in your world, and you can actually reach out and you can touch Jesus this morning. You know how you do that? It's as simple as what the Bible says. It says anybody that would seek after God with all their heart, it says God will be found. God will be found. So if this morning that you can just get yourself out of the noise, get yourself out of all the things that are going on in your head, going on in your world at the moment, and you can say, Jesus, here I am. I don't have it all together, but I want to reach out and I want to touch you. I want to be connected with you. If you would pray a prayer like this and mean it, the words are not that important, but what goes on inside you is eternally important. It's a miracle that can happen in your world right now when your spirit actually connects with the power of Almighty God. If you were able to say, Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you die for me. And this morning, I would like to connect with you right now. I reach out to you. I open myself to you. I ask that you would come into my heart, that you would come into my world, and you would forgive me of my sin. That's just rebellion against God. And you would relieve my guilt. You would take that away. And I'm going to make a choice here this morning. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. If anyone would like to pray that prayer, maybe you've prayed it as I've been talking. Why don't you just, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, why don't you slip your hand up and say, that's me, Dave. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody else here that needs to do that this morning? I just believe that there are perhaps another couple of people, and you just desperately want that connection with God. If that's you, just slip your hands up and say, that's me. That's me, Dave. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that would want that connection this morning? Maybe you've been there, you've experienced that, but you know that you're not close to God this morning, and perhaps you feel guilty, you feel disconnected, you feel alone. But you found yourself here this morning, and you can connect with God. Just slip your hand up, and I'll include you in this prayer right now. And say, that's me, Dave. I need to reconnect this morning. Okay. Praise God. Let's pray together. People are making important decisions here this morning. Lord Jesus, I choose to reach out and touch you this morning. I open my heart to you. I ask you to come in and fill me. I want to experience your unconditional love. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being my great high priest. I'm sorry for my sin. Sorry for my rebellion. I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you go...